Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would, please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. We just started recently in chapter 1, and we're still in chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. You'll recall that in the first 11 verses, a lot happened. Jesus, having risen from the dead, begins to prepare his disciples for his departure. And he's been, of course, working with them, but now this is referencing the period after his resurrection, as he is teaching them and giving them instruction. And then he's taken from them. And he tells them that they need to stay in Jerusalem until they receive what had been promised, that the Father was going to send the Holy Spirit on them and they were going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, beginning in verse 12, we read about some of what happened between Jesus' ascension and the day of Pentecost. So beginning in verse 12 of Acts chapter 1, this is the reading of God's Word. "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, 'Brothers, the Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David, concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the rewards he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. 4, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection.' So they proposed 2 men, Joseph, called Barsabas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, 'Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these 2 you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs.' Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is got several things in it that are not totally familiar to us. The first is, these folks spent every day together and spent them in prayer. Day after day, they were in prayer constantly. constantly in prayer. That's what it says, verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Now, I don't want to try and put anybody on a guilt trip, so I'll just tell you, I find it difficult to go to a prayer meeting that's going to last more than, let's say, 3 or 4 hours. I've been to some. But my day generally is filled with other stuff. And so if I'm going to a prayer meeting, I would like to have some reasonable expectation that it will end. You know what I mean? I don't think that that's horribly uncharacteristic of the rest of us. I would think that if I invited you to a prayer meeting and you were inclined to come, you'd want to know when it starts, and you would make some assumptions about the fact that it was going to end, right? Imagine if I said, hey, let's just get together and pray. Okay, where? Here. Fine. When? Well, I think we ought to start right away. And I think we ought to just pray with no end in sight. You might say, I'd love to, but I've got a number of other things that I've got to do. For these folks, nothing was taking precedence over their time together in prayer. I mean, that was just a given. And so they spent day after day praying and seeking the Lord. Now, again, we understand. They were the apostles. They could do that sort of thing. But I would submit that while we're not all called by God to spend all day, every day together in prayer, we ought to consider from time to time whether or not we're really spending as much time as we should devoted to prayer in an undistracted way. Now, I pray, I mean, the Bible says, pray constantly. Well, in one sense, I do that. I'm always kind of in conversation with God as I drive, as I go places, as I meet with people. I'm carrying on a fruitful exchange with the Lord, just conversational prayer. And that's a good thing, and that's fine. But there need to be times that are set apart in a disciplined manner for the purpose of undistracted prayer, focused prayer, prayer where I'm not sort of, the phone rings, I'll answer it. I'm just not available because I'm with somebody. You understand? There need to be times like that. And that is what they were experiencing here among the leadership of the church. And we will see later in the book of Acts that as the Lord blessed and the church was growing, other things began to intrude on that kind of prayer life. And the apostles had to establish the office of deacon within the church so that they could devote themselves to prayer. I mean, you just have to make a decision. We're going to focus on this. I would encourage all believers to make it a priority that you have some time set apart for focused prayer, where nothing else is going to intrude. And if somebody else needs something, you're just not available right then.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org, or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
I have a dear friend who's now in heaven. Years ago, he was serving as a missionary in Mexico, and he was having a respectable ministry, but he saw such a disconnect between what he read about in the scriptures and what he experienced in his personal life that he decided he was going to spend some time just seeking God. And he wasn't going to do anything until God told him what to do next. So the assumption quickly was made by his fellow missionaries that he had had a nervous breakdown, because he started missing meetings and everything else, and they'd say, you know, where's Andrew? Is he okay? And he'd say, or his wife would say, well, he's in prayer. Well, I mean, we had, you know, our regular get-together, and he wasn't there, and we just wanted to be sure everything was all right. Well, he's just praying. He's in his study and just praying, not to be disturbed. Well, this went on, as I recall, for somewhere around a month. Nadger wasn't eating, wasn't coming out and fellowshipping, wasn't going to church. That does kind of sound like a breakdown, doesn't it? But Andrew decided he was simply going to pray until God told him what to do. And one day, the other missionaries, of course, were talking a lot about this because they were concerned. You know how Christians are. We're all concerned for one another, especially if it gives us an opportunity to talk about someone. And so, you know, they were concerned for Adger, and they were talking about Adger, and they had written him off. Basically, somebody needed to send him back to the States. And one of the missionaries said, well, you know, I'm going to go by and try one more time to invite him. And he went by Adger's home, and when he got there, Adger was ready to go with him. Because the Lord had told Adger, so-and-so is coming to the house, and you're to go with him. So the guy was shocked to show up and not just find that Adger was willing to go, but that Adger was ready to go. He was ready. He was looking forward to this guy's arrival because the Lord had told him this guy's coming and you're going to go and you need to go with him. So they went, and they went to this remote mountainous area where they'd been before and never had seen any success. Other missionaries had been up there and tried, and I mean nobody was getting anywhere with these remote Native American people in the mountains of Mexico. And as they were approaching the village, they saw what turned out to be a gathering of people mourning the impending death of a child. There was a little child about maybe 2 years of age, and the child was near death and had been put in a little basket inside the hut, suspended from the ceiling with ropes to keep vermin from attacking the child because the child was so near death. And they spoke to the people and asked what was wrong, and the people told them, our child is dying, and you know that's why everyone is here. And Adger said, I want to pray for your child. And they agreed, and Adger went inside and prayed for the child, and the child was instantaneously healed. I mean instantaneously healed. And everybody could tell, you know, because I mean it wasn't like, you know, I think he may be better. I mean it was absolute, spontaneous, instantaneous, unmistakable, incontrovertible, absolute healing. Pastor, I don't think that sort of thing is really, you know, the kind of thing God does. I mean, God can do that if he, I mean, he's sovereign. He can do that if he chooses to, but I don't think God does that kind of thing anymore. I don't see God do a lot of that anymore either. I also don't see people spend 30 days in prayer waiting until God tells them what to do. But see, the reason Andrew went in and prayed for that child is because God told him to do so. He did what the Lord told him to do. And when he did what the Lord told him to do, God did what God had chosen to do. And God healed that child. And suffice it to say, they didn't put up any posters announcing a meeting in the village that night, because they didn't have to. Everybody got the word that this child had been supernaturally healed, and everybody wanted to come and learn, how did you do that? How did that happen? And they were able to tell those people about Jesus and the fact that he's not dead, he's alive. Jesus is alive.
Pastor, are you saying if we really believed Jesus is alive, none of us would ever get sick?
No, I'm not saying that.
But you're saying if we did get sick, we'd all be instantaneously and miraculously healed.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that Jesus is alive. That's what I'm saying. And he is Lord. And as we look through the book of Acts, we're going to see sometimes when we pray, miracles happen and we get what we ask for. And other times when we pray, people get their heads cut off.
That wasn't what I was hoping for.
I don't think it was what the people who got their heads cut off were hoping for. I'm confident it isn't what the people who loved him were praying for, but it's what God sovereignly chose to do. But what I'm submitting to you is as we look at this passage, we see something that is to us unfamiliar, and that is you had leaders who were devoted constantly to prayer. Constantly to prayer. By the way, my friend Adger went on to have a tremendous ministry of prayer. Through his prayers, many amazing things were done by God, including a lot of people getting healed. And this went on for a period of many years, and I'm one of the people who experienced an instantaneous healing when Adger laid his hands on me, and I mean, I was under the care of a physician, I was sick, I was on medication, and I was instantly healed. God still does that kind of thing from time to time. Okay? But I also want you to know, however, that Adger is now in heaven, having died in his 40s because he got sick and wouldn't take any medicine. So I'm not telling you,
if we believed God, we wouldn't need medicine and we'd all be walking in perfect health from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet.
No, that's not the message. The message is that Jesus Christ is alive and we ought to be spending time listening to him and doing whatever he tells us.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet.
So, the first thing is, they all join together constantly in prayer, verse 14. And it wasn't just the apostles who joined together constantly in prayer. It was also the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, obviously, if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that I do not worship Mary. Okay? We talk about the fact that in the scriptures, she is treated as someone who needed a Savior, Christ our Lord. But I do want you to see that when it talks about the women, it singles her out. She kind of gets special billing. So don't panic anytime somebody wants to say something complimentary about Mary and use her as an example of faith. Okay? When they had these constant prayer times, it wasn't just the apostles who were there, it was also the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was there praying. And his brothers. I didn't think Jesus had brothers. Well, apparently the Bible thinks he did. Well, that term could be used to describe others, like maybe cousins. Yeah. You know what else it means? Brothers. Verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and he said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas." Two things. Number one, the scripture had to be fulfilled. The scripture had to be fulfilled. Why? Because God doesn't lie. This tells us something about the nature of scripture. God's word is true. It is absolutely true. It is entirely true. And therefore, when God says something, it's not a statement of what is probable. It is a statement of what is. The scripture had to be fulfilled. But secondly, what are we talking about? We're talking about something that was said by David. The Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David. We're talking about the Psalms here. He's going to quote from Psalm 69, verse 25, and Psalm 109, verse 8. And what he's saying is, not only did God have to fulfill what he had said would happen, but now we must do what the scripture says. May another take his place of leadership. Verse 21, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who've been with us the whole time. In other words, the Bible doesn't just tell us what is going to be, doesn't just tell us what is, doesn't just tell us what has been. The Bible also tells us what we need to do. And I would submit to you that the number one reason why a lot of people, including many who call themselves evangelicals, really aren't so sure about the full trustworthiness of Scripture is because they don't want to have to do what it says. The reason we don't like to admit that everything the Bible says is true is not because we're, you know, it's a little strange for me to believe that the infinite God could create a great fish to swallow Jonah, keep him alive in there for 3 days and then have him vomited up on land. I'm not sure that an infinite God who is the creator of the universe could really do that. I mean, is that a logical position? Is that a logical position? No, that's a crazy position. If we believe God is the creator of all things, why would we have any problem at all believing that he could come up with a fish capable of swallowing Jonah and keeping him alive for 3 days and vomiting up on cue? I mean, who are we talking about? If you told me you built one in your backyard, I would have trouble believing you. But if we're talking about the one we say is the creator of the universe, then that's really not a strain. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It's not hard for God to do this stuff. If you said,
I recently was in Thailand and I learned some techniques by which I can now create things out of nothing.
I'm going to tell you, you are crazy. Okay? You do not have the ability to create things out of nothing. But if you want to tell me God created everything out of nothing, well, that's not a strain at all. Because we're talking about God. Right? Well, if we believe that God's word is true, then all of a sudden it makes an impact on what we must do. And that, again, I will state, is the number one reason why a lot of people have trouble accepting the authority and trustworthiness of God's word. I don't want to have to believe this whole book is true, because if it is, I got to change. I can't keep doing what I've been doing. I've got to live differently. My morals are going to have to be different. I'm going to have to repent of sin. It's very humbling to see what Scripture says about me. Because if I compare myself to other people, I get to choose which people, and I come off pretty well. I feel pretty good about myself. You know, I'm not perfect. I mean, nobody's perfect. I mean, what's wrong with the statement, nobody's perfect? Leaving God out of the picture, isn't it? It's leaving God out of the picture. Do you know anybody who's perfect? Well, just one. Remember what Jesus said to the rich young ruler? Why do you call me good? Only God is good. Jesus happens to be God. But the rich young ruler thought he was pretty good, till he got around Jesus, and Jesus said, you do lack one thing. Go, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, you'll have great reward in heaven, then come follow me. See, we don't really want to hear that.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today, but we hope you're enjoying this message, and we hope you'll be sure to tune in next time, when, Lord willing, we'll bring you the conclusion. You don't want to miss it. Meanwhile, please pray for us and consider making a contribution that will support us in this ministry. For more information and to access ministry resources, we'd love for you to call us at 866-41-ABIDE, or you can visit our website, pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.